invest and follow principles. That has proved to be pretty successful.
This landlord's going to make almost $2 million over the next 12 years for doing something one time. Mm-hmm. And that's like residual. This guy's got another 7 retail spaces and he's got 10 stories of apartments above it. And I'm like, man, I'm on the wrong side of the coin, right? I need to own real estate, not broker it.
You start doing deals that are absolutely life-changing, like that put you on the path for intergenerational wealth.
Welcome to the Real Estate Home Runs Podcast. I am your host, Louis Van Der Horst. This is a podcast for busy professionals who want to learn about passive income producing strategies that have helped others crush it in the real estate world. Whether you are a new or seasoned real estate investor, this is the podcast for you.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to the Real Estate Home Runs Podcast. And we have Jeff McKee from McKeeCapitalGroup.com today. Jeff, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you, Luis.
So, Jeff, give us a fun fact about yourself. Something could be related to real estate or now.
Let's see. I married my high school sweetheart. We've been married 33 years, 3 kids. So still together.
33 years. That's awesome. That's impressive. So tell us what your background is and how you got started in real estate.
Yeah, you bet. I'm a high-tech guy. Started in 88 at Compaq, 12 years there. Been at Microsoft, was there 16 years, took early retirement earlier here in 2021. Started at another software company after that. Got into real estate in terms of really focused on real estate about 5 years ago. Just like many people, read Rich Dad Poor Dad. I read the Cash Flow Quadrant. And I said, hey, we've amassed a decent amount of wealth in the 401k, but that isn't quite the same as some of the passive investing, having multiple lines of horizontal income in addition to your vertical income. So yeah, 5 years ago, we started off in single family. We did one fix and flip with a partner and that went well, but then I realized that wasn't scalable and that was short-term profit and it was adding to our W-2, which wasn't great. Then we did one buy and hold of a duplex. And that also, you're trying to do 100 per door per month or 200 is not really scalable. So then we went into multifamily. So we joined one mentoring program about 3.5 years ago. We invested as limited partners in 5 deals. Then we decided we wanted to go bigger, faster. So we joined another mentoring program. Again, the theme here is networking with others and mentoring. And that one, we ended up scaling faster. So we've been involved in 10 syndications of large multifamily apartment community in the last 18 months. So 2,500 doors, 200 million assets under management. And so then that's been our focus, has really been looking at that asset class of class B and C multifamily apartments as where we decided not to go after single family. Obviously, we didn't go after self-storage or mobile home parks. We focused on multifamily. So we've been involved in 15 deals in 3+ years. And so that's kind of where we're at right now.
Awesome. And for those of you listening, maybe you're here, limited partner, what is that? And that's pretty much a partner on the deal that joins the general partners who put the deal together, negotiated, and brought in all the limited partners to have all the capital that they need to tackle the 200 units or 100 units. Yeah,
exactly.
So what was that transition like going from doing the smaller deals to the bigger deals? I know you mentioned scalability. Can you shed some light in that? What do you mean by scalability and how can someone do that in multifamily?
Yeah. So like if you think about a single family rental, long-term rental, if you think of $100 a door per month, $1,200 per year, you'd have to have a lot of doors to achieve, at least for many people, financial freedom. And so then we felt as though the synergies of having all of the units in one location with similar type infrastructure in terms of HVAC and all that was easier to manage. And so going from just trying to own 50 single families ourselves versus 500 multifamilies, that was a better strategy for us. So we basically felt as though we wanted to go after a small slice of a very large pie instead of owning a small pie all by ourselves. So that was our basic strategy, is that we would rather go after 2,000 doors as a general partner with a small percentage versus trying to do 200 doors on our own, which which would have been very hard to do when you think of geographically where these single family homes would be located, all the different infrastructure, how you would manage and maintain those, that would be very daunting. And so we felt as though multifamily was an easier way for us to scale. The other thing, as people that are in the single family world would know, is that FHA, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, the agencies, they have different limits. Typically, it's 10 loans per person. So maybe if you're a couple, you can do up to 20 loans. And so that gets to be pretty hard. It's hard to find loans in the name of an LLC and a business name. Whereas in commercial, the large multifamily, it's interesting that there's a lot of Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac non-recourse debt, which means that they don't come back to you personally on that debt. And the asset is the one that qualifies for the loan, not the individual. In the single family, it's what is your debt to income ratio? What's your W-2 income? How can you qualify for the loan? That's single family. And the multifamily, we're going after $50, $60, $70 million deals. They're not looking at my income, right? They're looking at what can the property handle in terms of the underwriting, in terms of the net operating income. And it's the asset that you get the loan based upon, not the individual. And that's where the single family isn't scalable.
And it's a game changer because we may be limited to our W-2 income if we're looking at just single family. And also the debt to income on the single family may be a detriment. But if you're looking at multifamily, there is strength in unity and also those different factors that aren't considered for single family.
Yeah. Exactly. And honestly, 5 years ago, I didn't know what a private placement memorandum was. I didn't know about this apartment syndication business, what the heck a Class B, C, A apartment community was about. I didn't know of the different types of debt versus recourse and non-recourse. So I've listened to hundreds of podcasts, read hundreds of books. I've gone and paid a lot of money for mentoring programs. And I mean, honestly, it's really helped me out. Now I'm still in the W-2 world. I'm in the process of transitioning from the W-2 world to the real estate full-time world. Now my wife has actually done that. There's also a designation the IRS has, which is called a real estate professional, where you work 750 hours or more as a real estate professional, more than your W-2, and you can qualify for that from an IRS. And what that means is that now my wife has qualified for that, that it offsets any active income that I do on W-2, we invest in real estate transactions, including this bonus depreciation that we have through 2022. So anyway, we've had a lot of tax advice, a lot of legal advice, accounting, we've changed CPAs. I mean, we've just grown over the last 5 years, you know, trading out different partners of what we're trying to do. And we basically are investing in real assets instead of the stock market and some Wall Street. We're investing in Main Street, and there's real assets that are also a hedge against inflation because we're able to increase rents as inflation increases.
What are some ways that you guys have general partners have been increasing the cap rate on some of your deals?
Yeah. A lot of times we will improve the unit. So what we do is when we go buy a new asset, oftentimes the owner has run out of capital and they're unable to improve the inside of the units. And that's what most people look for when they're looking at apartment, a one, a two bedroom. They're saying, what does it look like on the inside? What are the countertops, all the different flooring? And they look at those items to say, how much is this really worth, this 800 unit, 1,000 unit apartment? And what we do is we take these over and we're able to turn 75% of the units typically. And as we turn the units and we improve them, maybe we're putting in 5 to 10,000 per unit to make them modern. And so we have the classic units, which are the older ones, and the modern units, the newer ones. Then we're able to charge more market rent, which is typically $100 to $200 per month higher than what they have been doing. And then the tenant gets a newer unit. And then we also do the exterior. So we'll do, whether it's the painting the exterior, redoing some of the parking, we'll do add pergolas, we'll add barbecue pits, we'll add dog parks, we'll add amenities around the apartment community, but then we'll also mainly renovate the inside. And that's what drives your ability to raise rents to the market rate for that area.
That's good. And some people are looking for that dog park, those very unique amenities. And if you're able to offer that and maybe bump up the rents a little, it will be a benefit to you and your investors and also for the renters.
Exactly. That's right.
Yeah. So you mentioned the masterminds, surrounding yourself with the right people. Any other tips or things that have helped you get to where you are, whether it be books or other podcasts or...
Yeah, the Real Estate Radio Guys is a great podcast, you know, bigger podcasts like many people listen to. So I listen to a lot of the traditional ones. I listen to different ones that are focused on multifamily. I mean, honestly, I listen to others that are associated with self-improvement, you know, Tony Robbins and some of those, because I'm all about that, and Jim Rohn and Zig Ziglar and some of the older generation as well, because, you know, I'm a bit older. I would say I'm gray-haired, but not quite, you know, I don't have much hair left to turn gray. But, you know, I enjoy listening to self-improvement. And then, yeah, I'm part of several different masterminds. We talked off camera about Kyle Wilson's mastermind. That's a great mastermind. I'm, you know, part of a best-selling book in 2021. So that was something I never thought that I would do. I'm part of GoBundance, which was from the book A Tribe of Millionaires. And it's a very interesting group. You surround yourself by people that are very successful, but also very driven and also trying to help other people. Like in my high tech world, I've been in high tech for over 30 years. There's a lot of people I've worked with over the last 30 years that don't really know about private placement syndications, real estate investing, and that you can actually take a lot of your own finances into your own hands. I mean, what some people don't realize is when you sock away to a 401k, what happens is when you do retire, you're actually pulling the money out at your current tax rate. Well, people would say, well, hey, when I retire, my tax rate's going to be so much less than it is now. I'm in, let's just call it the 30, 35% tax bracket. Well, honestly, do you think 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now, the tax rates are going to go down in the United States? And so that's one of the things I just decided to take some of my own financial future into my own hands and not rely on other people to look out for me. And so I just got more educated and yeah, read tons of books and podcasts and joined masterminds to get more educated, surround myself by people that are super successful and just learn from others.
And this is a team sport. I know I say it all the time in these episodes, but you have so many moving pieces, so many different parts, and putting those together to be able to execute is crucial.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it is a team sport. And I know people like to do deals themselves. They want to take a duplex, a triplex, a fourplex, a 5-unit, a 10 unit, and they want to do it all themselves. But honestly, we've just found partnering with others that are great at the acquisition, great at the asset management. And we do the parts in the middle. So we do things like I'm a key principal on many of the loans, which is a guarantor. We do earnest money down at risk capital, which means you have a earnest money deposit 1 and 2, and you're putting up money for an apartment complex that you may or may not get back. You have to be comfortable with that. And then I do capital raising. So there's things in the middle that we do very well and we do often. And there's other people that do a great job at asset management, managing the property manager. And that's just not something that we do. And so you kind of have to, you know, like you've heard the phrase, maybe the riches are in the niches. And so understanding what is your niche? What are you good at? What segment of the population do you relate to? What things can you add value to a team? Because we didn't find success in just doing things on our own. We found success in doing things with other people and figuring out how we can add value to the team.
That's good. What would you say to those people that are on the fence and want to get started investing, but don't know how, or feel like they don't have the capital or don't have the time?
Yeah, I think it's a matter of prioritizing your time into the things that are important to you. It's like, hey, why don't you plan? What are your goals? We did a 10-year vivid vision. We did a 5-year vivid vision, a 1-year. And so what are your long-term aspirations of what you'd like to do? And then break those down into chunks that you can achieve. And so that's what I would just encourage people to look at, is to have long-term goals and then break them down into what's realistic. And then it's like, who, not how, like the book that came out in 2021. I read that and it's like, I can't do everything myself. So now we have like 3 virtual assistants in the Philippines working for us full time. Like going into 2021, that wasn't part of the plan, right? But there's things that people do, whether it's social media, Facebook, LinkedIn, things that people do, you know, writers, bloggers, people that work for us now that I didn't really plan on. It just happened over time, but it's It's who is an expert at what you're trying to do, whether it's the acquisition side, whether it's the asset management side. And so I would just encourage people to look at what are your unique assets, your attributes, what can you bring to a team? And in some cases, you have time, but not money. And so in order to get some money, you might be able to go do some single family stuff initially, maybe wholesaling, subject to fix and flip. And then you build up a little bit of capital and then you can add that to the team. But also on the acquisition side, whether you're looking at the acquisition of multifamily apartments, single family, self-storage, mobile home parks, people will pay you if you bring a good deal to them. And that's an area that people can focus on, and they maybe in their local market. I talk to people all the time that like, hey, if I find a 200 unit complex here in Columbus, Ohio, I'd like to be a co-GP on one of your syndications if I bring you the deal. It's like, of course. There's things people can do and assets that they have that maybe they haven't really thought about. And it doesn't always take money initially. It's your network of people. Expanding that, you know, whether it's going to bigger pockets, going to different meetups in your local groups and expanding your network of people and just thinking out of the box about, geez, how can I add value to people? If I don't have capital today, what could I do either to make capital or what could I do with my time to find something that's valuable to someone else and that maybe I become part of that team?
That's really good. Yeah. What would you say if someone has something that stood out to them, they want to share with you from this interview, how can they get a hold of you?
Yeah, you bet. You bet. You can go to like the website here, the McKeeCapitalGroup.com. You'll see the deals we've done in the past. You'll see a bio of my wife's son and I. Our son invests with us. He's 29. Yeah, we've done quite a few deals. And then there's just Jeff at McKeeCapitalGroup.com. Those are the easiest ways to get a hold of me. And then, you know, I'm happy to consult with people, give them time. And so I've got a Calendly that I'm happy to jump on a 15-minute call and just help people out. So then you can book that with me. And I'm just happy to help others out and kind of give back to people.
Awesome. Hey, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciated you being here.
Yeah. I appreciate it, Luis. Thank you very much.
We hope you enjoyed this interview and got some value out of it to help you in your real estate investing journey. If you can take just a minute, please do us a favor and leave a review. Hit the like button on iTunes or whatever platform you listen to our podcast on, and subscribe so you can hear future episodes. Also, don't forget to check out our Real Estate Home Runs Podcast Community Facebook group, where you are able to connect with some great listeners. If you're an investor who is crushing it and want to share some information centered around passive income in real estate, please contact us. Hit those home runs, and we will see you next time.